Morning glory and evening grace, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I hope you had a blessed and wonderful Christmas. I hope you are looking forward to a great new year. One way you can assure your new year will be superb is if you go to HughHewitt.com and order my next guest's brand new book, Risky Gospel. I have to tell you about Owen Strahan's background a little bit first. Owen, welcome. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Hugh.
I have to tell people the story again that I told last hour. I was in Brazil 2 weeks ago on a tender from between Santos Port and the cruise ship. I take up a conversation with two nice people, Ken and Joanne from Louisville. I say to them, because I know Al Mohler, hey, do you know Al Mohler? Oh, yeah, we do. How do you know him? And I said, well, Al and I are on a conference call every single week and Monday, and what do you think of him, they ask. I said, well, you know, he annoys me. I've never read a book he hadn't read first. And we laugh, and they tell me then they're very good friends of Al's and supporters. And that's a small world story. But then I get back to my cruise ship room, and I open my email, and Owen has sent me an email with a PDF of his new book, Risky Gospel, which is dedicated to Al Mohler. So at that point, I said, when I get back, I'd better have Owen on, because I can recognize a message from God better than anybody. Don't you agree that that had to be what was going on, Owen?
Yeah, I was trying to orchestrate all of that, but I couldn't have hoped to orchestrate it any better.
Well, you had emailed me because it was the anniversary of the last time you were on the show.
That's exactly right. I was thinking maybe I'll just try my luck here, but it turns out there was a stronger force in play than luck.
Oh, you bet. That there are no coincidences, especially when there are five of them in a row. So, Owen, let's start with Risky Gospel. Fine book. I read it on the ship. I have my own comments on it. But let's tell people about you first and how you came to be in a position at Boyce College and your connection to Al Mohler and why it's dedicated to Al.
Yeah, well, I trained under Dr. Mohler when I was a seminary student at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky from 2005 to 2007 and loved it. And when I worked in his office, I just got a big vision of God and his gospel and his work in the world. Dr. Mohler, if you know anything about him, is not a man who goes quietly in the night. You know, he never stops moving. He's all action after a lot of reflection, that is. And so that made a mark on me when I was a student. And things have been percolating in my mind for years. I got a PhD from Trinity Evangelical Divinity in Chicago, and then came back to Boyce College, the undergraduate school of Southern, and started teaching. And I just saw a generation of Christians who needed this kind of gospel-driven vision that I had gotten from Dr. Mohler in working for him and being trained by him, taking his classes and stuff. And so I wrote Risky Gospel to try to infuse evangelicalism with some passion and some vision and energy.
Now, we share an editor in Joel Miller, and we can tell Joel stories if we want, but the first question Joel always asks me when we're talking about books or possible books is, who's the audience? And it's a great question for any author to have to answer. In this case, the audience is me, because I love the book, but who is the audience for Risky Gospel?
Well, I very much appreciate that, Hugh. The audience is going to be primarily younger people, college students, high school students, 20-somethings, 30-somethings. I'm really aiming at the generation, the millennial generation, that doesn't really have a lot of purpose, a lot of sense of how to live out their Christianity. You know, they're in a hostile public square. People are not going to be praising them for holding biblical views on sexuality and family and these sorts of things. So I want to come to these folks and say, look, there's this awesome Jesus-driven vision of life that you can buy into, and it's gonna require you to put a small vision of life by the side. But if you take this, if you buy into this by the power of the Holy Spirit, your life is gonna be turned upside down, and you're gonna experience the joy of living full throttle for Jesus. Now, I think that's also gonna apply to older Christians, people who've been walking in the faith for many years. So I think the material will apply to them. But I would love it for this to apply to this younger generation and kickstart them to doing great things in God's name.
And I would encourage everyone, Risky Gospel is linked over at HughHewitt.com. The subtitle is Abandon Fear and Build Something Awesome. Owen Strahan is my guest. And I want to run down some of the chapter titles. Risky Faith, The Call to Risk. Risky Identity, The Power of the Believer. Risky Spirituality, Building a Stronger Faith. Risky Families, Building a Legacy. Risky Work, Building a Vocation. Risky Church, Building a Godly Community. Risky Evangelism, Building an Evangelistic Witness. Risky Citizenship, Building a Public Witness. And Risky Failure, Understanding the Stakes. Now, each of those makes sense on their own, but it is not a comfortable book, because you're actually saying, the Christian life demands quite a lot of anyone who professes to be one.
Yeah, I think we're in a prosperity-driven age, and many of us who wouldn't necessarily fly the flag of Osteen have bought into a kind of prosperity-light theology as Christians. You know, in other words, we think that God owes it to us to make our lives really pleasant and happy and easy and quiet, nice, neat, and clean. Here's the thing. I think when you follow Jesus and you genuinely turn your life over to him, trusting in his cross and his resurrection to save you, give you life, your life might actually get harder. You know, you look at the example of the apostles in the New Testament, and then you study what church history tells us about their faith, their eventual faith. 11 of 12 of them were martyred for their faith. So being called into the inner circle of Jesus, you know the Illuminati, so to speak, did not mean that your life was nice and neat and clean. It meant that it was harder, maybe, than it was before. I'm not trying to say that I want to make people's lives hard. I am trying to say Jesus is worth it all. He is worth giving your entire life to him. He's worth dying to yourself. He's worth counting the cost in that biblical phrase. And if you do so, you will find that the world and all its offerings and this sort of prosperity light theology that many of us have unwittingly bought into can't hold a candle to full throttle Christianity. But we want a gospel snuggie today. We want Jesus to tuck us into bed and make our lives nice, neat, and clean. And that's not what the scripture offers us. It offers us something awesome, something better than that.
Now, Owen, I want to make sure people are following you on Twitter. What is your Twitter handle?
It is at O-S-T-R-A-C-H-A-N, at O-S-T-R-A-C-H-A-N.
I just tweeted it out so people can just go there and follow. Now, I want to talk about two things with you that don't seem to be at all connected, but they're very deeply connected this week. One is Duck Dynasty, and the other one is Pope Francis. Now, I was out of the country for the Duck Dynasty controversy, and I realized that the elder Duck Dynasty guy was vulgar in his comments. Are you surprised by the aftermath?
Yeah, I have been surprised by it. I've been surprised that some folks out there, good-hearted folks, have not seen Robertson's suspension or whatever it is as a very hostile action. I very much do see it as a hostile action. I see it as another example of Christians being silenced for holding Christian convictions. You know, did Robertson phrase things as I would have? Definitely not. I think he got a little bit carried away in his interview. But does that mean that he should be censured and silenced? I'm with Mark Stein and other cultural commentators. I think that this is an example of the loss of free speech and the silencing of Christian witness.
Well, that goes to your Chapter 9, Risky Citizenship, Building a Public Witness. You're very explicit here. I'm sure you're telling your undergraduates at Boyce and your colleagues in graduate studies, past, present, and future at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, it's getting much harder, not easier, to express traditional Christian values.
That's exactly right. The temperature is rising. We're in the kettle. We're the lobster, I guess, in this analogy, and we can feel it. I can feel it. I want to encourage Christians out there, and I do. I train my students. I encourage them to get ready for pushback. People are going to hate you for speaking biblical truth. A lot of Christians are feeling really bad about that. They don't like that. They've been raised in a kind of culture that hasn't been that hostile, relatively speaking, to Christian faith. But Jesus told us we are blessed if we are persecuted for righteousness' sake in Matthew 5. We think of the Beatitudes, those Matthew 5 sayings, as these very calm and you know, little paradigms for your day. But really what they are is Jesus calling us to war, Jesus calling us to take up his cross and follow him. We're not waging war against flesh and blood, but we are offering testimony, witness that the powers and principalities of the air hate.
So let me ask you, Owen, and we'll carry this over after the break. A lot of Republicans would say to you, in Kentucky even, Owen, yeah, we know, but come on, we got to win some elections here. And we really don't want to talk about same-sex marriage or traditional marriage. It's just not winning right now. To which you respond what?
To which I say, listen, yeah, I do want to be as winsome as I can. I want to be wise. I want to be shrewd. I want to have a flourishing, driven narrative. I talk about that in Risky Gospel, and I want to talk about that every chance I can get, trying to encourage every Christian and every conservative to adopt that language, you know, of flourishing. That's why we're out here. We're not out here to shout people down and exclude them. We're out here because we want people to flourish and thrive. But we can't avoid these things because people want us to shift the ground. You know, they don't want us to talk about these tough issues. That's where we have to be talking, because if we don't talk about marriage and the family, we're going to lose the whole store. There's no other battle to fight.
I'll be right back with Owen Strahan. He is the author of Risky Gospel. That's linked at HughHewitt.com. You should follow him on Twitter as well. Professor at Boyce College, good friend, and very, very new and important, vibrant voice in the culture. Don't go anywhere. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
How old is the roof on your home? If it's over 15 years old, how much longer will it last before the leaks begin? Think about the damage. Then, think about this. If it's time for a new roof, call Sears to get your roofing done right. And if you call Sears right now, you'll save $500. Just call 1-888-749-4455. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors install a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. And you'll save $500 if you call right now. So call Sears for a free in-home consultation. That's 888-749-4455. Hurry, this offer ends soon. It's not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. So if you need a new roof, call Sears Roofing. Call right now and save $500. 888-749-4455. That's 1-888-749-4455.
150 million people suffer from headaches. All you want is for the pounding in your head to stop. Migralax stops the pounding. Migralax was developed by a neurologist and founder of the New York Headache Center.
I'm neurologist Dr. Alex Malskop. After studying and researching the human brain for 25 years, I've developed Migralax, which eliminates pounding headaches. It works for my patients, and I'm so convinced it will work for you, I don't just guarantee it, I put my name on it.
Dr. Malskop's Migralax gets rid of headaches fast without harsh caffeine, sodium, or preservatives.
Migralax works unbelievably fast. And it's gentle on my stomach.
Find out how to get your free bottle of Migralax. Call 800-681-2512. Plus, if you're one of the first 100 callers, you'll also receive the Migralax Quick Tips to Headache Relief absolutely free. That's 800-681-2512. Or go to Migralax.com. M-I-G-R-A-L-E-X.com. Or call 800-681-2512.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
A few years ago, my husband was laid off from his job. We found ourselves accumulating a large amount of credit card debt. One morning, I overheard an ad, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
The process was painless. My counselor that was assigned to me was amazing. Never once did she make me feel any less of a person. She was almost like a friend.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Trinity has continued to support me, keeping me informed of useful tips. And today, I'm debt-free for keeps.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Or visit mydebthasmedown.com.
Ew, get the stinky dog away from me.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Mounds and mounds of fur.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Chew himself raw. Sticky, gooey, smelly. She scratched incessantly.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
I heard about Dynavite on this radio station.
Right. DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I called my wife. I said, dear, you got to check out Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil, the seaweed, the kelp,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
6 days later, my dog's ear problems were cured.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
His gas was better.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
She has gotten this puppy look. Her coat has sheen.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
My vet was completely blown away.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
I'm ready.
21 minutes after the hour, America, it's Hugh Hewitt. Owen Strahan is my guest, professor at Boyce College, a great graduate of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Strahan's got a brand new book called Risky Gospel, which is going to shake up a lot of young churchgoers, a lot of young pastors. That's his obvious demographic that he's headed for himself, a young man. But also, I think those of us who are my age, 57 and 5 years on both sides, are going to read this and go back to the sessions on which they sit or the churches in which they attend and say, hey, we ought to take a look at this and read this and talk about whether or not our church is fully involved. What about Pope Francis? What are you thinking about him, Owen Strahan?
Well, I think he's very interesting, Hugh. He's not one to be painted into a corner. So that's the first thing that stands out to me. I mean, this is an age, as we were talking about before the break, when it's not popular to be a clear convictional Christian or conservative. And he's a guy who seems, I can't exactly figure him out. I saw in a Paul Ryan article on BuzzFeed that he had said some pro free market things and anti big government things. So I found that of note. But he's a tough guy to figure out. It does seem like he's bringing a sort of toughness and a flexibility to the public square that at the very least has to be of note to Christians everywhere. His focus as well, I'll say this as well, his focus on social justice to me seems both, provided you structure it rightly, theologically and biblically, seems both shrewd and biblical. And there's something there, especially in an age, you know, that has seen the Occupy movement, all these sorts of things. People are really responding to his example, of being among the people and being one of them and not living in an opulent style. There's something there for Christians to think about.
There's a great deal, I think, for both Protestant and Catholic in the rejection of opulence. And that is what I think more than anything else. It isn't His economics are fuzzy, and I had on Arthur Brooks last week and George Weigel and Robert Sirico, three great Catholic theologian economists who say, look, he's got Argentinian capitalism, which has got nothing to do with free market capitalism, on his mind. And I just came back from the awful poverty of South America and running around the favelas, whatever you call them, of Brazil. It's disgusting. It's horrible. And so you understand why he thinks with the way that he does. At the same time, I don't think that's why he's connecting with people. I think he's connecting with people because he's embracing disfigured people and he's ministering to homeless. He's doing things that church do.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think most people just think so fuzzily about economics in general that they really don't even have a framework for knowing how to handle these issues. I'm so thankful for folks like Arthur Brooks who are helping people think that through on a popular level. So that's terrific. But yeah, I mean, listen, his example is speaking very powerfully to people, and in an age that vilifies wealth wrongly and unfairly, I might add, there's something that many of us who want to have our footing culturally and who want to continue to maintain a public square presence and be a witness, by the way, we want to take note of that, I think. Catholic, Protestant, whatever you are, we want to see him being light on his feet and being rejecting wealth and that sort of thing, in at least in an opulent sense, and we want to learn from that, I think.
Now, Owen, in the Christian community, there's a gap. There's a whole bunch of very experienced senior leadership, and Dr. Mueller is the youngest of that group, but he's still over 50. Then it sort of falls off the table, and it's largely a question of oxygen in the room. You're part of that new generation. I don't know if you're 30 yet or not. And will the church willingly accept younger voices? Chuck Colson once famously said to me on PBS, the problem with evangelical America is it's so entrepreneurial, everyone wants to hold on to their market share. Is there opportunity for new young voices to emerge?
You know, I look around and I'm really encouraged because I think there is. I think that older generation has nurtured a younger generation within conservative evangelicalism. There's this whole movement that I'm sure you're aware of called the Young Restless Reformed movement, not Young Restless Deformed. You know, we're not all deformed. That's not what people are trying to say about us. They're trying to say that we're reformed, but yet we're young and restless. And I've seen leaders like Dr. Mueller and many others, Don Carson, John Piper, try to raise up young voices so that they will carry the torch. We've seen folks like Dr. Mueller in your circles. You've been a voice on these issues, and I'm really thankful even now to be talking about this stuff. It shows that you're interested in raising up the next generation. I have a lot of hope. I think there's going to be a new generation that rises up and takes the ball and stands up in the public square and in the church and tries to be a witness for Christ. So I think God is raising that up as we speak.
Now, what about attention for risky gospel, though? And I'll very, very bluntly, Nancy Gibbs just became the editor of Time magazine. She's really one of the better people in major American media, a biographer of Billy Graham and a number of other people, and a terrific reporter. Are any people of her generation paying attention to risky gospel? Because it's awfully hard to get attention.
Not so far that I know of. You know, everybody wants their book to be known and talked about and that sort of thing. And I think if it gets out there, if it gets some attention from things like this, then, yeah, I think people will pay attention. You know, my book is in the kind of new radicalism, they call it, that vein of books that that is calling the younger generation especially, but all Christians more broadly, to a kind of radical Christianity.
Expand on that a little bit. What's that mean, the new radicalism?
The new radicalism means that you reject a sort of status quo Christianity, you reject the kind of prosperity thinking that I was talking about earlier, and you go all out for Jesus. That really is your focus. You want to get the gospel to as many people as you possibly can, and so you live in the best way to make that possible. My book is in that vein. David Platt's Radical is the one that really kicked it off. Kyle Eidelman, who wrote Not a Fan, which is another book that falls in that category, wrote the foreword to Risky Gospel. So I fit in that group, although I'm a little less, you need to sell your stuff and move to Africa if you're going to be a faithful Christian. I think Platt has really helpfully called people to missions, to a global mindset. I love that. But mine is a little more focused on how to be a faithful Christian right here, right now, with 2.2 children, a white picket fence, and an SUV.
And so what do you read on a daily basis? What's the website that the new radical reformers read and go to? Is it Patheos? Is it our friends down at Patheos? What is it?
Yeah, I'm on Patheos as a blogger. That's one place that people go, a great place to go. Timothy Dalrymple's accumulated a huge number of bloggers, evangelical bloggers there. You go to Gospel Coalition. That's another place you want to go. You want to go to Desiring God. You want to go to a church-based outfit called Nine Marks. That's another one. Those are some of the places. You know, you want to go to Dr. Moeller's blog, frankly. Those are some of the places you want to go to hear these kind of voices. My book is at riskygospelbook.com. So they gave it its own URL, and you can go right through.
Well, here's what I leave you with. I think one of the great reality shows waiting to be made is a reality show on the campus of Southern Baptist Theological College and Boyce College. I don't think America has any idea what kind of places and how vibrant they are.
Yeah, they are not ready for Southern Seminary. Reality TV is not ready for us.
It would be so mind-boggling, eye-opening. So think on that at the same time. Risky Gospel in bookstores everywhere. Linked at HughHewitt.com. Have a great start to the new year and a wonderful Christmas season, Owen Strahan. And God bless. Be well, friend. I'll be right back, America. Unintended Consequences of Obamacare 101. Hank Adler's in the house, and Lilacs is ahead as well. Stay tuned.
If you're a homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your commitment. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for homeowners who are current on their mortgage payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. More than 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE.
How about a unique and meaningful way to benefit charities in Israel, charities here at home, and worldwide? Charity Choice Gift Cards, found at michaelmedved.com, offers over 1,000 causes. Your donation can go towards helping in the land of Israel, helping here in America, and even abroad through many well-known U.S. charities. Your donation, your choice. Send our honor cards or let the gift card recipient pick what is close to their heart from causes for disaster relief, children, health and disease, military, poverty, seniors, and more. Over 1,000 charities in all. Charity Choice, making lives better, helping those in Israel, helping here in America, and around the world. 100% tax-deductible charitable giving, great for birthdays, weddings, party favors, business gifts, holidays, indeed any occasion, when meaningful matters. Look for the Charity Choice banner across the bottom of the page at www.michaelmedved.com.
Thirty-four minutes after the hour, America, Hugh Hewitt in studio with me, my friend and co-author, colleague and fellow traveler in the best sense. Hank Adler was wandering past the studio today, and I just asked him to stick around for 8 minutes and tell us very quickly. He's been emailing me about unintended consequences of Obamacare. Hank, there are two, which we're going to alert journalists out there to. Number one, what happens when they keep changing the dates?
Well, when they change the dates, they're effectively changing the mandate requirement, as I understand it. So as the president moves back the employer mandate, that's X thousands of dollars per employee of penalties that disappear from the Treasury.
And so no one has yet calculated what the cost to revenue is that they built into the CBO estimate.
Not that I have not seen a word on it, and it could be very serious money. It's $2,000 per employee for the big employers. This has been known to everyone on the deferral since July. But I haven't seen anybody quantify the numbers, and now, you know, in the last week or two, they deferred the individual mandate for people who did have insurance before and don't have insurance now.
And that was supposed to be 1% of household income. But now if you can make a showing that you couldn't get in, you don't have to pay that either. So that revenue's gone.
That's gone. And, of course, we have no idea how one would make a showing. I think the presumption is this is the honor system, which means everybody gets
it. Number two, explain current law, who gets the medical deduction.
Well, the medical deduction's been up this year, first year, to now 10% of adjusted gross income.
Explain that to our Steelers fans.
To our Steelers fans, that means that if you were basically your gross income, the amount of money that you earn, if you have medical expenses equal to or greater than 10%, you can deduct that amount from your federal income tax return.
The whole 10% or just the amount above 10%?
Just the amount above 10%. But what's going to happen now?
Very few people use that, actually.
It's been very, it's slimmed down dramatically. It used to be 3%. We used to see a lot of it when I was still practicing. But at 10%, until I think 2014, it's effectively gone away.
But now it's going to come back because the out-of-pocket expenses are going to go skyrocketing.
Right. A combination of both the out-of-pocket, you know, it's $12,700, I believe, for a married couple, and their insurance expense is part of that medical expense. So for anybody who's unsubsidized, unless they're fairly wealthy, if they have a medical event, we will see medical deductions and therefore another drain on the treasury that I'm sure nobody's calculated at all.
Now, Hank, one thing I don't know, I should know, but I am not now, nor have I ever been a tax lawyer, and I barely passed tax. I can still remember the exam. Didn't think I did. It was a mercy P from Doug Kahn in 1983 in Michigan. If you are, you're like you and I, employed by Chapman University. You work in the business school. I work in the law school, and we get our health care through Chapman. But we pay for it. And does that go towards our total amount to be deducted on top of which, our expenses would go?
If we were to go past 10%, the calculation of the amount of our medical exemptions includes our share of the medical contribution.
There are going to be a lot of people taking this deduction.
I think so. And I know I've been teaching tax at Chapman now for a decade. We kind of blow through medical deductions the last couple of years because to have a 10% problem is really unusual. But with a $12,700 deductible, people are going to have it again.
Now, in terms of the market risk, you talk to a lot of young people like I do. No one in my con law class, whose exams I am in the middle of grading, not one person had signed up for Obamacare.
Yeah,
What's your experience?
I've done the exact same show of hands in my classroom, and no one is interested. We're immortal when we're 22 years old, and when you look at a $5,000 deductible, it's just nuts. Yeah. I mean, who are you really insuring?
And they have no income. They're all students, so they have no income.
Well, they have no income now. They've been tied. They're probably on their parents' plans.
Law students are a little bit older than your students, so most of my law students are not on their parents'
plans. But when my guys get out, I mean, I don't believe that they'll be excited about paying a couple $100 a month for insurance and then standing behind a $5,000 deductible, where really all they've bought is three visits to the doctor.
And you used to be on the board of one of the country's preeminent hospitals, and they never turned away anyone in their emergency room. But we were talking during the break, this new deal, it's going to change everything overnight.
Yeah, I mean, we treated, and the hospital continues to treat, anybody that walks in the door. That's the law, and it's the right thing to do. And they will continue to do that. My concern is that people will be reluctant to get the care they should have gotten beforehand. That group could grow, and then the emergency rooms will have real emergencies.
And I encourage everyone to listen on Monday, because I'm going to be talking with Ovik Roy, probably the best blogger in America on this, and his book available from iTunes Book, How Medicaid Hurts the Poor, is only 55 pages long, but it is a must read. Don't go anywhere. Lilacs is next with a little Christmas cheer. I may have to read to him what I wrote about him in The Happiest Life, and then he may hang up on me. So we'll find out. Don't go anywhere, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hi, I'm eHarmony.com founder Dr. Neil Clark Warren. From the very beginning, eHarmony has helped Christians find their perfect soulmate. In fact, most of the 565,000 marriages we've helped create are between two Christian persons. We have succeeded far beyond what I could have ever dreamt when eHarmony first started. Come to eHarmony.com and get started today for free.
I need a data backup solution for my business to replace my current tape backup device.
Do you want to spend a lot of money?
No.
Do you want to store and pay for replicated data?
No.
How about a solution that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Backup. End-to-end protection for physical and virtual servers, including data deduplication to significantly reduce storage requirements, and replicated cloud storage for assured recovery, and live humans to answer your calls. Try Barracuda Backup free. Go to Barracuda.com/yes.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. We've been talking about the real life impact of Obamacare and practical solutions with Jim Jones at Wellspring Benefit Group. What are you hearing from our listeners this week at ControlMyCare.com?
Comments are rolling in about the Advantage Plus program. Here's just a few. Kristen from Texas writes, "My daughter woke up at midnight with an earache and fever. Within 10 minutes of calling, the doctor diagnosed her problem and called in a prescription. She was relieved and so was I." Dave, a business owner from California, said, "Helping our employees with health care is important to us. Our employees love it, and we can afford it. Thanks for helping us." All 14 benefits include savings on dental, vision, prescriptions, and much more for only $19.95 a month for the whole family. Go to ControlMyCare.com or call 817-953-3155. That's 817-953-3155. ControlMyCare.com.
I found a small lump. It just didn't feel right. After a biopsy, I was told that it was cancer.
Last year, Kimalea Conrad was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer.
I was devastated. I felt alone. I began praying, God, how do I do this? Where do I do this? Cancer Treatment Centers of America was the place.
At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, faith and spiritual support play an important role in the fight against complex and advanced stage cancer.
When I walk in to CTCA, it feels like a place of life. And hope.
Advanced medicine and technology, the warm embrace of the spirit, and the power of prayer. That's Cancer Treatment Centers of America, a national network of 5 cancer hospitals.
I am so grateful and so blessed that I went to Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
If you or a loved one has complex or advanced stage cancer, visit cancercenter.com/faith or call 888-314-0040. Cancer Treatment Centers of America, care that never quits. Appointments available now, so call 888-314-0040.
The story begins with tuberculosis, a disease that led Charles and Florence to move to the better climate of Kerrville, Texas. In other words, the story begins with bad news. But Florence had a knack for turning situations around. And to make ends meet, she opened a store. Her son, Howard, delivered the groceries, pulling his little wagon all over town. On Sunday afternoons, he visited area ranches. He vowed that one day he'd own a ranch where kids like him could play. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. That young Howard was my father. And today, 20,000 kids play in our free camps each year. Our story started with bad news, but bad news is never the final chapter in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Forty-four minutes after the American Hugh Hewitt, joined now by Lilacs and Lilacs.com. Hello, James. Merry Christmas.
Miss Hugh, and it's so good to hear you again. I feared, you know, I had this image while you were away of you wandering around the slums of Rio looking as pale as the Yeti who'd lost 3/4 of his blood asking people if there was a Wi-Fi signal around.
Well, that in fact happened, and they were very nice to me because it was such an unusual occurrence. Did you read today about all of the piranha attack in the Argentinian River, though? I narrowly avoided that.
No, I didn't. My knowledge of piranhas, of course, stems exclusively from Blofeld's lair in the Bond movie, You Only Live Twice. So I know what those things can do.
Well, I want to know, have you received your copy of The Happiest Life yet?
I certainly have, and it's made me happy to read it. It's just, it's the Hughest book I've ever seen. It really does capture your spirit and your modus vivendi, and it's quick, and it's fun, and it makes you feel better when you pick it up, and makes you feel better when you put it down.
Now, I have to read.
Bad, but because you've gotten something out of it.
I have to read pages 20 to 21 about Lilacs in his press. This is a chapter on enthusiasm. Quote, James Lilac has been a guest on my radio show for as long as I can recall, and before then I was reading his daily bleed at Lilacs.com, a columnist for the Minneapolis Star Tribune and for National Review. James is the rare character who combines both serial and focused enthusiasm. His deep dives into various and many fascinating areas, architecture, matchbooks, the music of the home front during World War II, Star Trek, noir film, flow effortlessly into his website and his novels and nonfiction work. Some of his passions become part of his income stream, such as his book, The Gallery of Regrettable Food. But he would have collected the images and recipes for some of the hideous dishes of the 50s, even if that had not been intended for book form. It's what Lilacs does, and that's why he's so happy and his happiness explodes when he's on the air. He's endlessly interesting to listeners, which is why I welcome him weekly. Enthusiasm attracts. Fair?
Oh, I'm glowing. I'm blushing. It's absolutely delightful, and I thank you for that. And I remember early when you wrote blog. I remember back in the early days of the blogging world, and you sent out copies and encouraged people to take photographs of them in unusual situations. And I put it on my daughter's head, who spun it around at the age of 4 or something. That was her first shilling. And now this weekend she's going off to shoot a movie, actually. She auditioned for and got the role. So it's possible that even your early enthusiasm then, your gift to her, put her on this career path that she...
But you are... Many people are serial enthusiasts. I'm one of them, like the dad in Malcolm in the Middle and the dad in Modern Family. But you are both focused and serial. I mean, how many matchbooks do you have?
Good Lord. Probably a couple of thousand, only a fraction of which I put up on the web. The trick is to have a lot of interest that you can hop between, like a flea on a griddle, because then you're never bored. The minute you get tired of scanning and examining the details of this particular matchbook, you can go on then to a restaurant postcard or old food or music or the rest of it. Your whole day is just a stream of things that interest you. And, I mean, I'm one of those lucky guys who actually does what he loves all the time. And as such, every day I bound out of bed, and it's not just coffee that makes me happy.
Have you left the winter digs for a stint in Phoenix's sunshine yet?
No, as a matter of fact. This is the Christmassiest Christmas we've ever had. The snow is deep. It's twinkling. It's perfect. It's absolutely... We got a little light dusting on Christmas itself just to sanctify the day. It was absolutely marvelous.
How's Jasper doing?
Well, the 19-year-old dog took his walk yesterday, very tentatively through the snow, but enjoyed Christmas nonetheless, and had a big gobbet of fat and prime rib to celebrate his 19th Christmas as well.
Do you know Guy Benson put a picture out on Twitter yesterday of his pooch looking longingly at his roast, and he wouldn't give him any?
I saw that. I thought that would be one of the Twitter controversies that we have. Nowadays, the Twitter lynch mob is such that we need a scalp about every 6 or 7 hours, so I thought that Guy might be the next one.
Do you know how blessed it was to be out of the country during the Duck Dynasty controversy?
I thought, actually, that you would be chomping at the bit to get back to it, because having been on a ship with you, bobbing out there in the great beyond, I know how you sort of want your hands claw as though reaching for a microphone. But if you were happy to be away, I'm glad that you spent the fortnight in splendid isolation.
Well, our mutual friend, the publisher of National Review, is trying to figure out if I will go along with you guys in November. I don't think it's possible, but it's a completely different experience. It would be wonderful not to be the only attraction.
Well, it would be grand to have you along, because we're going on the largest cruise ship in the world. I believe it's the Oasis of the Seas, which you is. Yeah, I've seen this thing. The immensity of the craft.
Do they have a go kart course on it? What do they have on that thing?
Oh, they have a skating rink. I'm sure they've got an IMAX theater. They have actually a ship inside the ship, I think. So if the whole big ship itself you don't like, you can go into the smaller ship in the bowels of the ship and pretend you're on the Crystal Serenity.
I'm not sure I could do that. That would be a little daunting. All right, Obamacare news. Have you signed up? Have you been forced to sign up?
No. All of our plans thus far have been grandfathered. So we've been assured that we like our plan and we can keep it. And I can't see that ever changing the foreseeable future. Can you, Hugh?
But Minnesota's one of the disaster states.
Well, when you say one of the disaster states, let us narrow that down exactly. Which ones are the success states? The problem that we had was a bad rollout. One of my favorite things about the site when they finally started getting it working was it was still down between midnight and 6 a.m. So, I mean, if you could imagine going on Amazon and saying, and Amazon saying, sorry, we're closed. I mean, it's a website, for heaven's sake. But, of course, today, I think the New Republic said that the UPS kerfluffle that they had unable to deliver as many packages was a rebuke to the private sector triumphalists. Because that
who said that?
The New Republic. Those of us who have been comparing Amazon to Obamacare are private sector triumphalists.
Oh, I want that on my T-shirt. I want to be a private sector triumphalist. Do you know, does that mean that Manny and I can appear together?
Triumphalist.
I know.
Trump, not trumpetist.
I know, but that would be close enough, don't you think? Manny's been tweeting quite a lot. Have you guys resolved the Minneapolis Symphony?
No. The lockout is still going on. It's just a hideous problem. I mean, we got...
There's a book in that, isn't there? Who's ever heard of a symphony lockout?
Well, it's the sort of thing that would make a great movie in the 1930s with Deanna Durbin getting together with the orchestra and the leadership, and let's put on a show, and at the end of it, Stokowski shows up and everybody's happy. But unfortunately, no, one of the greatest orchestras in the world, with some of the greatest musicians in the world, is fallow. While lots of money is lavished on the orchestra hall itself to make sure that the lobby, where people go for that all-important glass of wine betwixt symphonies, that lobby will be spectacular, but there'll probably not be an orchestra.
What's Manny surviving on?
Well, you know, I can't speak for the fellow, but he has other things to do, and we just hope it's over soon so we get our instrument back. But that'll be something in 2014 we can talk about. It's going to be a great year, isn't it?
Happy New Year. We'll talk next week. Lilacs is in lilacs.com. Don't go anywhere, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt from my friends at eHarmony.com, and when I say my friends, I really do mean that. I've known Neil Clark Warren for over a decade. When eHarmony.com got started in 2000, I went up to Pasadena, sat down with him, learned the whole system. I learned about his Christian commitment, the years he had spent at Fuller teaching people how to help other believers find their life mates. Then he took all that vast knowledge, and he turned it into eHarmony.com. And eHarmony.com is the number one site for Christians seeking that significant other. It's no surprise to me that more than 565,000 marriages have come out of eHarmony.com. I've got friends at church right now who have met their significant other through eHarmony.com. I've got friends in Colorado who met their spouses through eHarmony.com. Wherever I go, I meet eHarmony.com couples because I've been talking about it for so many years. I've recommended it to so many people, and I have such complete trust in Neil Clark Warren and in eHarmony.com. If you've been away, give it a try again. And if you've never tried it before, now's the time to try it for free. eHarmony.com. And tell them Hugh Hewitt sent you.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-345-2159. 1-800-345-2159. That's 1-800-345-2159. 1-800-345-2159.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, 55 minutes after the hour. I want to remind you the Salvation Army Red Kettle campaign is underway. I'm $4,000 behind Gallagher, but he took off. And so I think he's like Tony Romo. I think we're going to pass him at the last moment. And so if you received a $100 check yesterday, young man, young lady, from grandma or grandpa, you should give 10% of that to the Red Kettle campaign at HughHewitt.com because that's the right thing to do. And if you own Twitter and you bought a lot of Twitter and you sold it today because it's ridiculously inflated now at $70 a share, it's incredible. I bought some Twitter and I sold it, and I usually don't sell anything because I just think it's nuts. If it had been going up like a dollar a month for the next 60 months, I would never have sold it. But this is now, it's Bitcoin stuff. It's not normal. Take some of your profits and send it to the Salvation Army, but don't send it to Gallagher. In fact, if you contributed to Gallagher, you should find a way to take the money back from him and give it to me. Not that I'm competitive with Mike, but he's promised to take me to dinner next week in New York when I'm there promoting my book, if I beat him. And if I don't beat him, I'm going to avoid him all week. And so it would really be nice if I saw Mike Gallagher when I was in New York next week. So head over to HughHewitt.com and hit the Salvation Army Red Kettle. We've had a lot of fun with this. Prager has once again used George Soros money to win. But Mike and I are in second and third place, locked in an epic battle for the Avis Award. Having crushed Medved, Bennett, my friend Mark Davis, and everybody else. We just crushed them. And Bennett is, it's a very secret thing. Prager, we're not sure what Dennis is up to. We really do believe it's Soros money. And so Dennis is, it's not to be trusted. Simply not to be trusted. But my money is honest to goodness contributed dollars. And if you haven't and you've been meaning to do so, we have until December 31st, the night of December 31st. And some of you are doubting that I really am going to New York next week and I'm going to be in Times Square on New Year's. I am. I really am doing that, and I dread it. I don't dread doing Sean's show. That'll be fun. Fox and Friends, always good to see Steve Ducey, Brian Kilmeade. It's always great fun to see Joe Scarborough, talk to Joe Scarborough. You know, I love doing media for the book. Here's what I discovered, though. It is very easy to talk about politics, and it's very hard to talk about happiness. It's very hard to write about politics, and it's very easy to write about happiness. But I did my first interview for The Happiest Life last week, which was pre-recorded for a drop on January 2nd, because the book releases next week. And it's very hard to talk about. I have to talk to Prager about this. Prager does an hour a week called The Happiness Hour, and it's Cracker Jack fueled. But nevertheless, he does it with aplomb and great depth, and I thought it was really one of the harder interviews to try and convey that which you write about effortlessly. Very difficult to talk about. We come back, we don't have to worry about being happy because Frank Gaffney's in the house. Champagne Frank Gaffney's the man I turn to when Turkey is falling apart. Egypt has declared the Muslim Brotherhood to be a terrorist organization. We'll talk about what Frank thinks about that as the new year comes to a big bang conclusion in Cairo with buses blowing up. When we return, don't go anywhere. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thicke. I was the dad on a show called Growing Pains, and like all TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money. So here goes. If you were ever to find yourself owing the IRS $10,000 or more, you could be looking at wage garnishments, liens, bank levies. You might even lose your home or business. Not good. That's why I tell you to call the people at Optima Tax Relief, because there's a new tax debt forgiveness program just announced by the IRS called the Fresh Start Initiative. By calling Optima, you can jump on one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. It's huge. You could qualify for a settlement that's 75% lower than before these changes. They're A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, and they even offer a money-back guarantee. Trust me, kids. You can trust these guys.
Call 800-656-7034. That's 800-656-7034. 800-656-7034. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.